You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Can interest rate cuts give Chinese economy a kickstart? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. Now, it's no surprise, China's economy hasn't been doing so well. In fact, it's never really bounced back from the pandemic. Now its central bank is stepping in, cutting one of its key interest rates for the second time in 3 months. Here's the BBC's Nick Marsh.
With China's economy facing a host of different problems, observers were expecting stronger action from its central bank. Borrowing for businesses taking out one-year loans was made slightly easier, but the rate for long-term lending remained unchanged. Since lifting tough COVID restrictions at the end of last year, China's seen poor economic growth, record youth unemployment, and falling prices. The post-pandemic spending boom, seen in most of the rest of the world, hasn't materialized. On top of this, China's property sector, which accounts for a quarter of its economic activity, has seen companies lurching from default to default for several years. Even though they've described the country's economic problems as tortuous, China's policymakers have so far resisted any major stimulus measures. There are concerns at the very top of China's leadership about trying to grow the economy recklessly, but how long they'll avoid taking serious action is unclear.
Andy Xi is an independent economist based in Shanghai, and he says China's leaders don't really have much choice.
Well, I think what the government is doing is not trying to reverse the trend. You cannot reverse the trend because the property sector has been a bubble since 2006, 2007. We are seeing this structural downturn, and the property sector has to become a lot smaller. And Chinese people have reached the conclusion that the property price cannot go up forever. Therefore, they do not want to double down. They are paying off their debts early. Those developments are all good things in the long run, but in the short term, that does cause some pain.
Economist Andy Xi there. Now, let's do the numbers. Investors were actually expecting China to make a bigger cut to interest rates, so Chinese markets are down. Hong Kong's Hang Seng is down 1.8% and China's CSI 300 is down 1.4%. Meanwhile, new figures out this morning shows that German producer prices, and that's the price of products sold when they leave the place that made them, have fallen by 6%. And that's the biggest drop since 2009. Our protests over economic hardship in Syria are continuing. Unverified videos show hundreds of people gathered in one southern region shouting for President Bashar al-Assad to step down with the help of allies Russia and Iran. President Assad almost managed to win his country's long civil war, but his sanctions-hit economy remains in deep trouble. Here's the BBC's Mike Thompson.
The latest unrest, marked by blocked roads and burning tyres in the streets, was sparked by government subsidy cuts that have greatly increased fuel and many other prices. Although this is a Druze-majority area of the country that has remained largely neutral throughout Syria's long civil war, people here are no fans of the president. So far, he's unlikely to be threatened by this latest eruption. But that could soon change if such discontent spreads.
Mike Thompson reporting. Now, the most successful Women's World Cup in history ended yesterday with Spain's 1-0 victory over England. Women's sport is firmly in the spotlight. Over the course of the tournament, nearly 2 million match tickets were sold and hundreds of millions watched on TV. England goalkeeper Mary Earps, who made a stunning penalty save, won the award for best goalkeeper of the tournament, but couldn't hide her disappointment at losing to Spain in the final.
I feel like they had a chance and took it and we didn't. Yeah, I felt like we were really in the game. So it's just really disappointing. I'm sure we'll feel proud in a couple of weeks, but right now it's just obviously really raw. So, yeah, gutting.
Now, it's not only disappointment for Earps. Kit manufacturer Nike has so far refused to sell her replica shirt, leaving fans frustrated, although the company now says it's working towards solutions for future tournaments. More generally, the battle for equality continues for women's football, including having the infrastructure and facilities to help women get into football in the first place. The BBC's Katie Silver reports from Australia.
At Dudley FC, a club 2 hours north of Sydney, women on the field are now a permanent fixture. Just a few years ago, they were on the sidelines watching their partners play when they decided they wanted a bit of the action. The trouble was, there was only one change room for everyone to use, and it had a communal shower.
The toilet had a cubicle, but the showers didn't.
Something that bothered player Kate Newman.
I don't know what it is about men and women, but women don't tend to enjoy showering with other people watching.
Most of the women and girls changed in their cars or went home. There were other challenges too.
It gives women in the club visibility. It shows that we matter.
Here's Jaya Bhagwana, who helped found the women's team.
When I had my little girl, I was breastfeeding and I would have to come off at halftime so that I could feed her. Most facilities and most places means that you sit in the back of your car and you run up the hill or you run 200 metres so that you can sit there and feed your child at half time.
It was experiences like these that led the club to obtain a government grant to build facilities made with women in mind. Now the club has bench seats for breastfeeding, partitioned rooms for privacy, helping to attract younger players like 16-year-old Tess Brumfield.
I feel like a more inclusive environment will help younger girls, because seeing that they have a space for them, like specifically for them, and that supports them, we can get a lot more people to come in, especially younger girls, which is what we need.
In Australia, there's more and more demand from women and girls to play the sport, and state governments have been ploughing millions of dollars into improving infrastructure, something businesses are taking advantage of.
The New South Wales government has also set aside $25 million Australian dollars, or $16 million US dollars, in grants this year for clubs wanting to build female-friendly facilities. Ozco has seen an increase in orders to build changing rooms that can be easily transported or quickly assembled on site.
If you think about it in terms of number of members in the club,
Ozco's boss, George Petrohilos, says it makes financial sense for clubs to invest in building more amenities for women's sports.
If you've created an infrastructure where you're now appealing to the whole community, then it stands to reason that your membership will go up, the number of games you can put on the field will go up, and therefore your fees and revenue will go up.
For many, the success of this World Cup is not counted just in the millions of fans, but also in the millions of dollars spent on women's sports to upgrade facilities and create a lasting legacy, not just at the professional level, but at the grassroots as well.
That was the BBC's Katie Silver. And finally, it seems that the big rush to movies wasn't just a Barbieheimer phenomenon. Bollywood film Godard 2 is riding high, having grossed $52 million at the global box office in 9 days. Some good numbers. And that's it for the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today, Alex Bell, Tom Clark in the tech, editor Joe Critcher, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.